Good morning. The reading today is from John chapter 1, verse 1 through to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "Who was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me'? From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Amen.
Let's pray.
God, we thank you that you are a God who speaks truth to us. And we thank you that you have given us your word in the Bible as a written revelation of you. And we thank you for Jesus and the fact that he makes you known. And God, as we look deeper at these words this morning, may you be speaking your truth to us. God, give us hearts and minds to hear what you would have to say to us. That as we gather in this place, we would be meeting with you. You would be working in us, helping us to know your love and to know what it is to be your people and live in this way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, over the coming weeks and last week we started this, we're looking at our church values as we've launched our vision, mission and values statement, kind of directing where we're heading over the coming 3 years and how we go about it. And as we look at the values of being dependent on God, built on the Word, together as a family and reaching out to all around us, I wonder how you would rate yourself and how you would rate us as a church corporately in meeting these values. I wonder, as we particularly focus today on being built on the Word, what your gut reaction is about how you would rate yourself on the scale of 1 to 10 on that. 10 being you're doing awesome at it, 1 being you're not doing so great at it. Maybe you feel like you're up high on the scale, or maybe you feel like you're down low on the scale, and that's okay. Maybe you feel like you're somewhere in between. Wherever you feel like you're on that scale, wherever we're at as a church on that scale, I pray that today as we talk about what it is to be built on the Word, that each of us would be keen to get deeper in being built on the Word. That each of us would look to go, yeah, I might feel like I'm an 8, but I want to be a 9. I want to be a 10. I might feel like I'm a 1, but I want to get to a 2 and a 3 and so on. That so forth in our lives, we would become built on the Word and seeing that as the foundation for us. So as we think about this, let's start off by thinking, what does it actually mean to be built on the Word? If you've been around church for a little while, as soon as you hear being built on the Word, you probably immediately think of the Bible. This is God's word for us. So, of course, when we think about being built on the word, we think about being on the Bible. And yes, we hold the Bible as foundational for our beliefs. The Bible is God's word written for us that we might know him throughout the generations. The Bible itself talks about the way that it does this. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says that all scripture, that is the inspired word of God as recorded by human authors, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and encouraging, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, that is us who believe in Jesus, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Elsewhere in the Bible, in the Psalms, the psalmist described the word of God, the Bible, the scriptures, as being a lamp for our feet, a light for our path. They also say that their delight is in the law of the Lord, and blessed are those whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditate on it day and night. Moses in Deuteronomy 6 implores the Israelites as they're going into the promised land, this land that God has given them, keep the Lord's commandments on your heart. Talk about them as you go about your day, whether you're at home, on the road, at work. Keep them central to you. In 1 Kings, we read about King Josiah of Judah. Actually, it's in 2 Kings, I believe, that it is in the reading of the law and the scriptures that he tears his robes in grief because he goes, man, we have turned our back on God and we need to repent. It is God's written word revealed and read that leads the Israelite people then to repentance in that. God's word in the Bible are foundational for us about how we understand who God is. It shows us, and these are just some of the examples of it within the Bible. And as we think about how the Bible is put together, this helps us to understand actually why we hold it as foundational. That the Old Testament was assembled by Jesus' time, and Jesus actually used the Old Testament scriptures to point to who he is and what he is about. He stands firm on the Old Testament scriptures, saying this is what had to happen. This is what was prophesied of old. And then we get the New Testament, which is written in the first century, from not long after Jesus' life, death, and resurrection and ascension, to the end of the first century. And that when they were putting together the New Testament, saying, all right, what books actually belong in it, they had criteria about it. It wasn't just two old blokes with nice beards sitting in a study somewhere going, hey, I think this book should be in the Bible. No, they were thinking about who wrote it, when was it written? Was it close to the time of Jesus? Was there eyewitnesses who could actually verify that this is what has been said? Was it written by someone who was close to Jesus or talked with someone who was close to Jesus? Did the teachings line up with what the rest of the scriptures were saying? Did they make sense in line with that? If we weren't sure about the author, those books that we are sure about, how do they line up with this book? And if it doesn't line up, then we go, well, we know these ones are true eyewitnesses, so this is the true teaching. And this other teaching, well, we can discard that as not the inspired word of God in this. And also in the New Testament, in the churches around, were they accepting these letters and these books as the word of God? We have in Colossians, Paul saying, I've written a letter to Laodicea, and make sure you read that and make sure you share this letter that I've sent to you, churches in Colossae. I share that with the other churches as well. Now, as you go through our Bible, you'll probably notice there's no Laodicean letter. There's no letter to the Laodiceans, but we have the letter to the Colossians. Why? Because the letter to the Colossians was shared widely within the churches within this, and so they go, yeah, this is the word of God. This is God's teaching for his people. And so the Bible itself is saying, hey, is this revealing who God is? Is it accurate? Can we trust it? Does it all teach the same thing? And is it accepted? And they're praying in this as well, that this Bible that we hold is actually the work of God throughout the generations and throughout the millennia to reveal himself to his people. That we can trust what is written in the Bible as being foundational. If we're worried about what God has written in it, we can trust that God, as he has revealed himself through it, will be the one who sustains it for us. That being built on the word means that we hold the Bible as foundational. That we hold it as the way that God has revealed himself throughout the ages, recorded for the ages. And we can trust it. We can believe that this is actually how God calls his people to live. What does it look like for God's people to live? Well, the Bible teaches us about that. Being built on the word is being people who hold the Bible foundational to our understanding of who God is in this. And then second, being built on the word is also being built on Jesus. See, we deliberately chose the word word because it also is a play on words for Jesus. That's a lot of words in that sentence, so I hope you followed it. That we chose the word word because Jesus is the word. That just as we had in our reading from John, in the beginning was the word, that is Jesus. And the word, Jesus, was with God. And the word, Jesus, was God. We talk about Jesus being the word. Why? Because he is God revealed in human form. He is the living word of God for us. He is the foundation of our faith. You know, John deliberately in this passage is calling Jesus the word. The Greek for it is actually logos. And the idea around logos was kind of the guiding force for the universe. That if you talked to a Greek or a Roman person at the time and said, oh yeah, the logos, the logical, the thinking about it, oh yeah, that dictates us. If we can achieve the supreme logicalness, the supreme logos, then we will have achieved the best in life. And yet John says, hold on a sec, you can't do that. That all your understanding of gods and demigods and all of that in your understanding of culture talks about gods as being an impersonal God. That either they're a set and forget, or if they're engaging with humanity, is out of wrath. And yet God, our God, is a God who cares for us. That the Logos became flesh, the Word became flesh, is a God who is invested in our lives. That is not just a God who is over and we can forget about him and we just try to achieve it on our own, but he's revealing himself to us. It'd kind of be like saying to a Star Wars fan, imagine that the force, the guiding power of the universe suddenly made itself known in a human form. That here was the supreme force. Not good, not evil, but here is the force in flesh. And we can understand and meet this God. That Jesus, as the Word made flesh, came. Why? So that all who would receive him and believe in him would become the right, or would receive the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent nor of human decision, but born of God. That the Word became flesh and we have seen his glory, and that Jesus has revealed the truth of who God is, his grace and truth to us by coming to dwell with us. John, at the end of his gospel, talks about why he wrote his gospel. He says, I've written these things, and I could write so much more, but I've written these things so that you might know Jesus as Messiah. Why? Because it is only in Jesus, it is only in the Word of God, in Jesus, that we have life. It is only in Jesus that we can have hope in the midst of darkness. It is only in Jesus that we see brokenness restored in him. It is only in Jesus that we have surety in our salvation. That it's not about all these things that we can do. Have we ticked enough boxes? No, Jesus has already done that for us. It is Jesus' salvation for us that gives us this identity. That Jesus is the one who reveals the truth of God. Jesus is the one who shows God's love. Jesus is the one who reveals the forgiveness and grace of God in dying for us, that we may be made right. And so being built on the Word is, yes, being built on the Bible, but it is being built on Jesus. Holding Jesus as the foundation for our faith. Because without Jesus, none of this actually matters. There might be some good life principles in there, but it doesn't actually give us salvation without Jesus. That it's only the cross, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection that actually means that we have a surety of salvation. It's only in Jesus that we actually have the hope and life and restoration of brokenness. So we are built on the Word, that is, Jesus and the Bible. What does that actually look like for us? What does it look like for us as a church? Three things for us about what it looks like as a church. Firstly, that we would proclaim Jesus. Secondly, that we would preach the Bible. And third, that we participate in meeting with Jesus. So the first one, proclaiming Jesus. Being built on the Word means that we will unapologetically proclaim Jesus. We want to be a church that proclaims Jesus in everything that we do. In our Sunday services and all the things that we do throughout the week as well. We want to be proclaiming Jesus. That in our Sunday service, as we praise and worship God through music, we want to be looking and proclaiming Jesus. We want to look to him and stir our hearts towards a deeper love of him in this. And we want to sing our praises to him, but also be reminded of what he's done. In our preaching, we want to proclaim Jesus. We want to say, this is who Jesus is. This is what he has done. This is what it means for our life. In our prayers, we want to proclaim Jesus by looking to him to move in situations. In our notices, we want to proclaim Jesus as we think about all that is happening in our community and the ways that we are participating in showing God's love to one another and to the community and all around us. In our offering, we want to proclaim Jesus by putting him first with our money and saying, God, you've given me these finances and I want to bless the work that you are doing in the local church and the ministries that the local church supports as well. And so I'm going to give my money financially to this. We do this with our communion, that as we celebrate communion, we are remembering Jesus' life, death, and resurrection each time we take it. That we are proclaiming that Jesus has died for us, that Jesus is the reason for our salvation, and we are looking for Jesus coming again as well. And we do this with our hospitality time, reminding ourselves that it is not us alone in this, but actually we are on this journey together. That we are looking to God by proclaiming community together and helping one another to love and serve him in our life. We do this in Christchurch Kids, that our young people and their leaders are out there learning about who Jesus is, who God is, the big story and how that fits into our life. We do this in our outreach events. Not that we get up there and we Bible bash people saying, Jesus loves you, believe. But actually, we're saying, we're proclaiming Jesus. Why? Because we're trying to bless you. We just want to be a blessing. We want you to know God's love for you, and so we want to share that with you so that you might then start to know how much God loves you and cares for you, that you might find the hope that is in Jesus. Now, we do it in our small groups, that as we gather together, we are looking at the Bible, we are praying together, we are supporting one another on this journey, helping one another to pursue faith. So as a church built on the Word, we will unapologetically proclaim Jesus. That as we come to church, on a Sunday. We're walking going, I know we're going to talk about Jesus today. I know that we're going to be reminded of Jesus' life, death and resurrection. I know we're going to talk about the power of that at work in us through the Holy Spirit. And so we are going to be encouraged in our journey in this. So I'll proclaim Jesus. Second thing for us is that it looks like us preaching the Bible. That to be built on the word means that we also, as we hold the Bible as foundational, use it for our understanding of who God is. That we actually talk about what is written there, that we would use it to uphold how God calls us to live in light of who he is as he's revealed himself. So each week we preach the Bible. We don't preach self-help philosophy. We don't preach this nice new thing that we think is a good idea. No, we preach the Bible. And we preach it by preaching what the Bible says. That if we talk about what we do, it is expositional or expository preaching. That is, what we preach is what is written in the Bible, not what we think should be in there. That actually we take our ideas from what is present. Now, this will mean that we want to expound the truths of it and that we'll have to wrestle with tough passages. There will be parts as we preach that will make us uncomfortable. Parts of it that will go, I'm not sure that that fits in with our understanding of life in this community and culture that we're in. But we'll wrestle with it and we'll think, what does this actually mean? What are the principles that is in this? So that we will have a God-centered view of the world and seeking to be his people who are an epicenter of hope within us. So when we preach, we'll preach thematically and we'll preach through books of the Bible. We'll do both. But we'll always do it saying, what does the Bible teach us? What is it that the Bible is actually saying about this? How do we understand it? And at times, we'll use this to then build our theology, saying, all right, if this is how we view it, how does this actually look like in practice? And so we'll take one text to start the thought on it, but then we'll build out from that as well. That we'll actually, we'll build this system of our understanding of God from the Bible and thinking about how we live this out and how we do this in our life. And so here's my thing for you. If you think there's times that I haven't preached the Bible, come and talk to me. If you go, Steve, I'm not sure that you preach the Bible there, come and have a conversation with me. Hold me to account if you believe that. Let's have a discussion. Let's be on this journey together. Why? Because we want to be a people who are proclaiming Jesus, preaching the Bible, and we want to be working together to be being built on the Word. And the third thing for us in being built on the Word as a church that we would participate in meeting with Jesus. What do I mean by this? Well, this week I had a conversation with a lady and we were talking about church and her experience of church. And she said, sometimes the churches that I go to, I sit there, we say all the words, we do all the things, and suddenly it's boom, it's the end of the service. That actually, as we've said the words, as we've done each thing, as we've sat and listened, actually we haven't had space to meet with Jesus. But for us to be built on the Word as a church is actually us meeting with Jesus. That week in and week out, we would participate in meeting with Jesus. That we would seek Jesus to be with us. That we would have space for this to happen. That it might mean that there is some awkward silences in our service because we're actually creating space for people to meet with Jesus. That during our music time, there might be silence and people might be praying, but we might also just be going, yeah, God, I'm just sitting in this moment because I want to meet with you. That throughout our service, there'll be other times of silence. Sometimes in our prayers, we'll have silence that we might engage with Jesus in this. Sometimes in our sermons, we'll have time where we sit and reflect on this. Why? Because this is not just something that we come and collect and sit back and go, cool, I've had my church for the week and then I'm out of here. Now, this is actually something that if we want it to be transformational for us, then we need to meet with Jesus in this. And so we want to create a space that does this. Create a space that actually allows this. So being built on the Word as a church is that we'll proclaim Jesus, we'll preach the Bible, and we will participate in meeting with Jesus. In our Sunday services, in our small groups, in our gatherings, as we encourage one another in this journey. And what does it look like for us as individuals as well? Well, two things for us. The first thing for us to be built on the Word as individuals takes us sitting with Jesus. A few weeks ago in our disciple series, I talked about the idea that a disciple is sitting with Jesus. It is someone who is learning from and journeying with Jesus. It's actually taking the time to be connected to him, to learn from him. That is not just, well, I'll tick my box and do the right things and then I'm done, but no, actually, how am I intentionally spending time with Jesus in this? That individually, we would be making the time to sit with Jesus and see him transform us. I love in our small group this year that we're a part of, that I get to, each week, each time we meet, we're going through the Gospel of Mark and we're sitting with Jesus in this. That as we read through this story of the account of Jesus' life, we are being amazed by Jesus again and again. That actually sitting with Jesus has meant that we're just sitting there going, Jesus, who are you? How can we learn from you? How can we grow in you? And we've wrestled at times with tough passages that seem incongruent with the understanding that we have of who Jesus is. Jesus, how can you be doing that? Yet also we've had times where we've just been amazed thinking about Jesus calming a storm and the power that is present in that. We witnessed Jesus' compassion on people and the crowds. And we've thought about what does it mean for us? What is Jesus saying in this to us? This is us sitting with Jesus going, Jesus, who are you? How do we understand you? And what does this mean for my life? How are you speaking this into my life? How can I grow in this? And so we sit with Jesus. Now, I've found that this takes intentionality. To be honest, confession time, I don't always find that I sit with Jesus when I have my quiet time. Sometimes in the morning when I'm reading my Bible and praying, it becomes about, well, I've just got to do this so that I can then get about going on. Why? Because I like starting my day with reading the Bible and praying. But actually, I can have 100 other million thoughts running through my head that distract from my time in this. And sitting with Jesus then takes intentionality. And so it doesn't always happen in my quiet time. That in the morning when I'm reading the Bible, I can read it and I can get things out of it, but I kind of go, yeah, I've read it and that was nice, but have I sat with Jesus? But it takes intentionality. And so often that comes if I'm out exercising or on the bike or have created space where I've switched off the other things and actually spent time focusing on Jesus, spending that time with him in this. And the second thing for us as individuals is to soak in Scripture. That if we want to be built on the Word, then actually we need to know God's revelation of himself. We need to understand who God is. And we need to spend time with him in this. We do this as we read widely and we read deeply in the Word and as we ask God in the Holy Spirit to illuminate this truth for us. How do I soak in Scripture? Well, I do it in a couple of ways. Firstly, each year, I will try and read through the Bible, or pretty much each year, I'll try and read through the Bible cover to cover. Now, this isn't some superhero feat. Don't look at me like I'm amazing. There's a couple of reasons I do this. Firstly, I know that if I don't do this, then actually I won't get the full identity of God within this, that I'll pick and choose what I'll read. The other reason I need to read the Bible cover to cover most years, is that I'm extremely forgetful. And so I find that I need to actually go through what God is saying in this constantly. That I actually need to be reminded of the laws in Leviticus as much as I need to be reminded of the gospel of Jesus. Why? Because it helps me to understand who God is and how he calls his people and how we are blessed in Jesus to do this. And so I'll read through the scriptures. I'll read through the Bible cover to cover. And this year is probably the slowest that I've done it. Why? Because I've taken the time not just to go, well, I'm going to tick off my five chapters or three chapters, whatever it is that I've got to read today. I've got to do that. But if I find that I'm reading it, I'm going, I'm just not engaging with this, then actually I'll put it down. That I give myself the permission to say, actually, no, if this is God's word, then I want to hold it as key. And if I'm not engaging with it, if I'm finding myself getting distracted, then actually that's saying, hold on, I need to put it down for a sec so that I can come back to it and pay it attention. So I read through the Bible cover to cover. The other thing I do is that I actually spend time, and once I've done that, to dig deeply into a book. That I will spend a portion of a month or longer going through a book in the Bible at a deeper pace. And so sometimes this will mean that I'm reading a chapter a day. Sometimes it will mean that I'm reading a handful of verses. And I do this often with a commentary or two in hand, spending that time digging deep into it, saying, God, what are you saying in this? How do I understand this? But I spend that time going, yeah, I want to soak in Scripture. I want to know who you are, God, and I want to understand what it means for my life. Now, I'm also privileged that because of my role as a minister, I get to spend time constantly digging deeper into the Word. That it doesn't always happen just in my quiet times, but it happens throughout my days and weeks as well. But if you're struggling, if you're going, I want to get into the Bible, I want to soak in Scripture, I want to understand the Bible more and more, be like, I don't know where to start. Steve, how do I go about this? Well, up the back on the table near the tissues, we've got these individual postcards. And they're all the same, so you can just grab one or grab a couple if you need a couple. And what is it? It's a reading plan. This is for December. And so every day you'll see the date and then you'll see a reading. So in December, as a church, I'm encouraging us to read through the Gospel of Matthew and then a few Psalms to finish off the month. And so day by day, you'll be able to go through. You go, oh, where am I up to? Oh, today is the 1st of December, so I'm going to read Matthew 1. Well, today is the 14th of December, so I'm going to read Matthew 14. And so you go through it and you can tick off as you've done each day, but you can keep this so that you go, yeah, I'm reading through this and knowing this. And then on the back, you'll find a method of how you can go about reading the Bible. And it's the SOAP method, which is Scripture. So what Scripture do I need to read today? Oh, well, it's December 5th, so I'm going to read Matt 5. All right, read through that Scripture. Observation. What am I observing in this passage as I read it? What is it telling me about who God is? What is it telling me about humanity? What's it telling me about myself? What is God stirring in me in this that I need to understand more of? Then A, application. What do I do as a result of this? God, what are you asking me to do? And maybe that is simply understanding more of what God's character means for you. That as we think about the story of Christmas as it's presented in the Gospel of Matthew, God, help us to marvel at the wonder that you are the God who came to be with us. That just as John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And here we're reading in Matthew that the Word came down, that Jesus Christ was born and lived as one of us. God, help me to think about what the implications are for this. Or maybe it's as you're reading through the Sermon on the Mount and what Jesus is saying, you're going, oh, Jesus just said that where your heart is, there your treasure is. Man, God, what are the treasures in my life that I'm putting in place of you? So we have these different kinds of applications. And then P, pray. Pray for God to help you with your application. Pray for other things that are going on in your life. Pray for others in your sphere of influence. Pray for the world. But it's soap, scripture, observation, application, prayer. It doesn't need to be complex for us. But as we do this, as we sit with Jesus, as we soak in scripture, as we let the Holy Spirit work in us, we become people who are transformed by Jesus. That we find our hope in him and we say, yeah, that as I do this, then every other part of my life is transformed. That as I sit with Jesus in the intentional times, it affects how I relate to my family. It reflects how impacts how I reflect Jesus in my work. It impacts how I reflect Jesus in everything that I do. Why? Because this becomes the foundation of who I am, and this becomes the foundation of who we are as a church. So let me pray for us within this. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for the Bible. And we thank you that as your followers, we can be built on you through the word. That Jesus is the foundation for us. That he is the living revelation of who you are. And that we can be assured of this because of your written revelation, the Bible. God, help us to always proclaim Jesus. Help us always to preach the Bible here at church. Help us always to participate in meeting with you. God, help us individually to sit with you and help us individually to soak in scripture that we might love you and know you at work in us as we know your great love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.